will talk about diversity or lack of diversity in Hollywood this hour. Why are the Oscars so white? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. For the second year in a row, this year's Oscars nominations included no non-white performers in the four acting categories. Major films featuring black actors received no nominations or nominations only for white talent. With big Hollywood names like Spike Lee and Jada Pinkett Smith announcing they won't attend this year's ceremony, and criticism continuing under the Twitter hashtag Oscars So White, we will talk with a guest about this controversy. We'll talk about what led to this year's lack of diversity, the bigger picture of diversity in Hollywood, and how even television could be doing better. And we'll wonder what you think. What do you think about this year's Oscar nominees? Did the lack of actors of color stand out to you? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guest. Very happy to have with us Aisha Harris, a culture writer for Slate. She has written several articles about the controversy over the 2016 Academy Awards. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks a lot for being with us. So, how bad are these omissions in your mind?
I think they are pretty bad, and I think that's why a lot of people are upset and why the controversy has gotten so loud this year, because as you mentioned, this is the second year in a row where there have been no nominees for any non-white actors in the four major acting categories. And there has been some talk about how there weren't enough actors who were maybe deserving of these awards or these nominations, or who would have, you know, these types of films aren't being made, which I think to some extent, yes, that is a strong argument. There aren't enough overall within Hollywood, enough roles available to non-white actors and filmmakers. But I do think there were quite a few films this year that and roles that could have been considered and were largely going to be considered when you were talking about Michael B. Jordan for Creed and the director of Creed, Ryan Coogler, Oscar Isaac, who is an Ex Machina, Benicio del Toro, and Sicario. So there are a number of people who, you know, should have, I think, been included in the nominees, and they were not.
Well, we did have a Best Actress nominee, Charlotte Rampling, who is white, wondered if perhaps no black actors had given good enough performances to make the cut. What do you say to her?
Well, as I wrote in a piece for Slate last week, I think that is the common sort of argument that a lot of people will make when talking about these awards. But the Oscars have never only been about merit or about who is the best, because we can think of so many examples of films and actors who we look back on years later, or even at the time when they're awarded, and you wonder, how did they get nominated? They certainly weren't the best of the year. I mean, one of the reasons why in the last few years we have 10 potential Best Picture nominees as opposed to 5, which we had for a very long time, is because people thought the omission of The Dark Knight as a Best Picture nominee was a huge, was a glaring omission. So I think to say that, you know, the reason that black or non-white people have not been nominated is because maybe they didn't deserve it is totally wrong, because the Oscars have never been only about merit.
Tyler on Facebook echoes this argument. He says, honestly, I can't think of a single really great movie from this year that had a black or other race actor, so that might have something to do with it. So what movies do you say did have, should have been considered?
I mean, Creed, starring Michael B. Jordan and directed by Ryan Coogler, and ironically, the only person who was nominated for that film was Sylvester Stallone, the film's sole major white character. Oscar Isaac, as I mentioned earlier, who is of Guatemalan descent. He starred in Ex Machina, which is one of the best-reviewed films of the year. And Benicio del Toro, you could also say, for Sicario. I think a lot of people thought he should have been nominated for Best Supporting Actor. So, yes, there are not a lot of roles out there to begin with, and that's part of the other big problem with the, not just the Academy, but the way we look at filmmaking and art as a whole. But there were roles that should have been considered and probably should have been a bigger splash in the Oscar nominees. And Straight Outta Compton as well was one of the biggest, best-reviewed films of the year. So,
yeah. What about Will Smith and Concussion?
Well, I think a lot of people, even those who agree with me on these points, would also say that Will Smith probably did not deserve to be nominated for a Concussion. I personally don't think that he was great in the film, and I also don't think the film as a whole was very good. So I think most people aren't arguing that Will Smith should have been nominated, maybe except for Jada Pinkett, his wife.
Yeah, well, here's Jada Pinkett Smith in this video that she issued following the Academy Award nominations.
Begging for acknowledgement or even asking diminishes dignity and diminishes power. And we are a dignified people, and we are powerful, and let's not forget it. So, let's let the Academy do them with all grace and love, and let's do us differently. I got nothing but love. Hey, Chris, I will not be at the Academy Awards, and I won't be watching, but I can't think of a better man to do the job at hand this year than you, my friend. Good luck.
So that's Chris Rock is going to be the host of the Academy Awards.
Right, yeah.
Well, what do you make of what she had to say there?
I think, for me personally, I don't see the benefits in this situation of a boycott. I think if the issue is that we're not included to begin with, not showing up isn't going to make a loud enough statement. I would much rather see someone like Jada Pinkett Smith or Spike Lee, who also mentioned that he was not going to be attending the Oscars. I'd much rather see them, you know, show up and speak to these issues at the awards and force the people who are in that audience to sort of confront this reality. And I think, as I think it's been reported now, that Chris Rock is going to be reworking his entire hosting duties for that night. And he's going to obviously, I think, going to be incorporating all of this controversy into it. And like she said, I can't think of a better person to be talking about this. Last year, Neil Patrick Harris was the host. And while I appreciate him in most contexts, I don't think that what he did last year in response to last year's Oscar So White campaign was very good or effective. It actually felt very condescending. Last year, what he and his writers did for the hosting was kind of put, like, use the people who we thought would be nominated, whether it was David Oyelowo or other black actors in the audience, and kind of did bits around them. And it felt very sort of like, oh, let's talk about, like, let's point out how white we are, but let's not actually, you know, condemn the fact that we're so white. So I think Chris Rock will make a good host, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he does on stage that night.
Yeah. Well, what did the Academy do to rework its voting system last week that they announced that would somehow maybe change this situation?
Well, they did a couple of things. One of the thing that seems the most effective and the biggest change is that they've gone from a lifetime membership for Academy members to now they will have to each new member's voting status is going to last 10 years, and it'll be renewed if that member has been either active in motion pictures during that decade, or it will remain if they, like, someone will receive lifetime voting rights after either three 10-year terms, or if they have won or been nominated for an Academy Award. So the taking away of the automatic lifetime status, I think, could go a long way in terms of making the Academy ostensibly more diverse.
Yeah.
There are holes there. I mean, again, one of the reasons is that they have been nominated for or won an Academy Award. And when, you know, minorities and underrepresented groups aren't being nominated for the awards, then, I mean, you could say that that's not doing much. But I do think that it's great to see that they are finally doing something. And I hope that it'll widen and broaden the scope of what the Academy represents and who they choose to vote for.
Yeah. So, and talk a little bit more about that. Is that why this is happening? We have mostly white Academy members who are voting for white actors to be nominated?
I think that's a huge part of it. The Academy doesn't release their own stats, but I believe it was the LA Times a few years ago did their own reporting, and they found that about 94% of the Academy at the time was white, and the median age was 62. And so when you have that kind of voting constituency, then films like Straight Outta Compton, which is it's not set in the present time, but it's only set about 25 years back. And that's dealing with some very like black modern day issues with police brutality. It's about NWA, a infamous hip hop group. So when you have people who are within that demographic of older and white, they tend not to be even interested in seeing that film, much less nominating it. So I think that if we get a younger voting constituency and a wider swath of different kinds of people who are voting, those types of movies will be more likely to be seen, and I think more likely to be seen as serious contenders within the Oscars.
We are talking about this call to boycott the Oscars from some in Hollywood over the lack of diversity in the Academy Award nominees for the second year in a row. This year's Oscar nominations included no non-white performers in the four acting categories. We are talking with our guest about why this is and what can be done to change it and why it matters. And we'll welcome your thoughts and questions too at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Aisha Harris. She is culture writer for Slate. She's written several articles about the controversy over the 2016 Academy Award nominations. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about the lack of diversity in Hollywood, at least when it comes to the Academy Award nominations. This year's Oscar nominations included no non-white performers, and major films featuring black actors received no nominations or nominations only for white talent. Some big Hollywood names like Spike Lee and Jada Pinkett Smith have called for a boycott, or at least said that they will not attend this year's ceremony. I think I saw that Will Smith said that he would indeed join his wife and not attend as well. And we're wondering why this is. We're wondering what can be done about it. And we'll talk some more about why it matters. And we welcome your thoughts and your questions, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Aisha Harris. She is a culture writer at Slate. And before we go to the phones, Aisha, why does this matter?
It matters because representation matters. And in order to help create a better society, as cheesy as it may sound, I think film and TV have played such a huge part in breaking down walls for all underrepresented groups, whether it be black people, Latinos, Asians. Even now we have the huge gay and trans movement that is happening in part because of these films and TV shows that are portraying these people in a humanistic way. So I think that representation matters, and it always has mattered. And in order for things to get better in other avenues of real life. I think film plays a major part in that.
Let's take some calls. Let's go to John in Madison first. Hello, John.
Hi. I'd like to just, I have two points, something to point out. I thought I heard your guest say that Neil Patrick Harris should have condemned the fact that he and all the other people on stage were white. I don't think condemning in on either side would be a good thing to do. Is that what I heard? That,
well, I don't know. It says condemning white people doesn't help this whole overall issue. Did you say Neil Patrick Harris should have condemned the fact that he's white, Aisha?
I think what I mean to say, if I said condemned, what I think Neil Patrick Harris shouldn't have done was what he did on the stage that night. And what I hope that someone like Chris Rock will do is sort of bring these issues to light in a humorous manner, but also in a way that is not necessarily playing into Hollywood either. I think that Hollywood deserves to be sort of called out for what it has been doing. And so I don't think there's anything wrong with taking a harsher stance on that stage and being upfront and blunt about it, about what is going on and the fact that, you know, people of color and underrepresented groups are not being fairly represented.
You're pointing out that there are no African-American nominees is not condemning, John, is it?
Well, no. The difficulty is when you say that. Then, I mean, I'm a millennial from Madison. You know, I care about everyone's rights just as much as everyone else, and I'd love to help as much as I can. But being a white person, I feel like you're not going to get older people to listen if I feel condemned for something I have nothing to do with. You know, pushing the blame on one side or the other doesn't work. You have to find something in the middle ground where maybe we need a lot more people of color to be in the art and stuff like that. Maybe that's not the issue right there.
Yeah, well, anyway, John, for some reason, feels that he is being condemned for something he has no control over. What about his point that maybe more people of color need to be involved in the arts? Are there not enough people of color involved in Hollywood?
Well, it's funny you should say that because there is no shortage of people of color or women or other underrepresented groups who are in the arts. The problem is, and this goes into a larger picture beyond just the Academy, is the problem is that they are often not getting in those doors. They are not getting to be seen by the people who are making the decisions, who are mostly white and male. And so when you have, and the thing is that within Hollywood, as with a lot of industries, you hire who you know, and you hire who you are friends with. And a lot of people, especially white people, don't have a lot of friends and people that they work with who are not white or who don't look like them. And so a lot of people like to make the argument that there just aren't enough people of color in the arts, but there are so many. The problem is that you're just not seeing them because the people who make the decisions about who gets to see the big mainstream films are mostly white, and they are the ones who are not letting the people of color and the women and the underrepresented groups through those doors and giving them a chance.
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts on and maybe John said he didn't feel condemned, but older people are going to dig their heels in and not really listen because they feel that white people are being condemned?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a common, I think that's sort of a natural reaction is when you are confronted with something that you feel is a slight, or when you feel like you're being singled out. Yeah, you're going to feel as though, you know, you're going to dig your heels in. I do think that that's part of the reason why the Academy is taking these steps and being proactive about it and trying to sort of shift the age is because, especially, and granted, I know I'm a younger person and I do not know what it's like to be an older person, but older people tend to be more set in their ways and not as open to different ideas and the changing of the times. And so I do think that that's part of the reason why the Academy's push is a step in the right direction to sort of shift shifting that point of view and hopefully shaking up a bit the people who are voting for these films.
Yeah. Well, regardless of Oscar nominations, for example, Creed did get made, as have other films representing people of color or issues. Why does it matter if they get awards or not?
Because awards, especially awards like the Oscars, I mean, they are seen as the apex of a career. They are seen as it's recognition by your peers of the work that you do, and you can't tell me that if you were doing what you want to do just because it's the arts or just because it's, you know, something that's supposed to be all about the craft, that doesn't mean that you don't also want the recognition. And beyond that, it's also having an Oscar significantly helps your career both financially and just in terms of where you go next. Having the word Oscar nominated or Oscar winner before your name for the rest of your life means you can command a higher salary. You can have more choice in the sort of projects you do. So it works both from the sort of internal, personal fulfillment of your career. It also works in terms of just helping you move on to the next stage in your career if you wish for that to happen.
We are talking about the lack of diversity in the Academy Award nominees this year, second year in a row, and diversity in Hollywood overall. And we are welcoming your thoughts and questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Do you see this as a problem? What do you think would make the most difference in fixing the problem? Our guest is Aisha Harris. She is a culture writer at Slate. Some have blamed the lack of diversity in the membership of the Academy itself, including President Cheryl Boone Isaac, herself an African-American, and she said she is working to improve that, and we talked about the changes with the voting at the Academy. How to Get Away with Murder star Viola Davis told Entertainment Tonight that the Oscars are really the symptom of a much greater disease, namely that films aren't being made by black directors or featuring black stars. And meanwhile, Spike Lee said that the real battle would be the lack of diversity in the executive offices where the decisions about which movies to make happen. So, where do we start in making changes?
Well, I completely agree with what both Viola Davis and Spike Lee have said, and I do think that is where sort of the change begins to happen when you see more diversity in the boardrooms and the executive rooms, when you see them also even going into TV, when you see them in the writers' rooms. That is where the power is. That's where the real power is. It's not, you know, a director only has so much power. You have to get the financing, the funding to get that film made and then to distribute that film. And millions of dollars go into every step of that process. And so when you have a majority white male demographic kind of controlling the purse strings in that way, it all trickles down. And that is why it makes it that much more difficult for women directors, for women writers, for people of color, LGBT, to get their voices out there. And, you know, I've interviewed people within the industry. A few months ago, I interviewed two women filmmakers who started this program called Kickstart Diversity, where they are trying to help every step of the process for women filmmakers and underrepresented groups. And giving them funding for, you know, getting camera equipment and lighting equipment and all of these other things. And I think starting on that micro level is one way to help, because that in itself, having the money and the access, is like the first roadblock often for underrepresented groups to getting their films made.
Let's take another call. James in Madison is with us. Hi, James.
Hi. I wanted to throw a couple comments out there, see if your guests could comment on them. I see a demographic change in the audience of major Hollywood films, and the audience seems to be getting younger and younger, so there's more and more films sort of catering to sort of an adolescent male demographic, and as a result, a lot of more sort of cartoony science fiction type stuff, and as a result, fewer films are going to be made with minority actors because it seems like Hollywood is getting more and more reluctant to take on social issues in films. And I think, so this is a responsibility, a cultural responsibility I think we have to sort of challenge ourselves more to watch films that take on cultural issues and social issues. And Chris Rock, speaking of him, his last film, Top Five, kind of poked fun at this. In that film, there's a subplot of him making this sort of project about a slave rebellion in Haiti, and he goes into a theater and no one's watching it. So I wonder if your guests could comment on that.
Aisha?
Yeah. I mean, I completely agree that we as viewers also have sort of a responsibility. And I could see maybe if we wanted to talk about boycotting in any means, I can see that being sort of the realm where we do that, where instead of black people and people of color make up a huge significant amount of the box office. And I think if we were to say, you know, we're not going to see these films until you do more to include us on screen, I think that would be a good step in, because that's where it all is. The money is where it is. I think also for people like myself, like I seek out films that are made by women directors, LGBT people of color, because you have to. They don't just, for the most part, with the exception of something like Straight Outta Compton or Creed, or even Star Wars, like you are not going to be as, especially if you're not in a major city like New York or LA, it's going to be that much harder to find those films. I think that's why, you know, streaming sites like Netflix or Amazon, they have a lot of movies that are very little seen, but they do have some great films that star and are about those types of stories. So I do think that there is something to be said for us as a viewing audience that we could do more to demand those things so that we can see ourselves more on screen.
Thanks, James. Rose in Madison is with us now. Hello, Rose.
Good morning. Joy, morning. How are you?
Good. What is your input?
I've really been thinking about this issue quite a bit. As a minority woman myself, I'm Asian and first generation in my family. You know, I see this whole issue as, you know, vital in that, of course, we want to see more diversity. I mean, America is supposed to represent, you know, a world of diversity from all the different countries that are represented here. But on the same note, I think that there's a little bit of a slippery slope here where, you know, what the argument's going towards is creating more diversity, but then is the diversity on the Oscar nominations going to be based on merit, or is it going to be based on a quota? Because we want to make sure that there's certain numbers of minority actors and actors represented. I worry about that a little bit. And then I also, it makes me really sad to hear all of the, you know, the talk about, when I hear Jada Pinkett speak, all I hear her saying is, you know, we're powerful. And I understand that, there's an aspect to that that is speaking to a much big, broader picture than just the films themselves. But I'm worried about that slippery slope and it not being merit based on merit. And also, I'm curious about the process, the nomination process itself. Your speaker has, your guest has spoken very articulately about how things are behind the scenes, but who votes it? Are all the Academy members, those are voting members? And if so, then are they the ones that should be called out? I mean, are they the ones that are basing their votes on a race issue? Or it's a little confusing, and I don't think it's a black and white, pardon the pun, as the media is representing it.
All right. Where would you like to start, Aisha?
I guess I'll start with the last point. The Academy is made up of people within the industry, and so there's sort of there's rules to how you get nominated, one of which includes, you know, having a sponsor who's already within the Academy. And you also have to have, depending on what your trade is, whether you're a director or a writer or a costume designer, there are different sort of criteria for when you can be eligible, which includes a certain number of years or a certain number of feature film credits. So the Academy is made up of people within the industry. So that feeds into the fact that the people within the industry are also the people who are making the films or who may be greenlighting the films. And so the reason why these things kind of go hand in hand between talking about diversity within the Academy and diversity within Hollywood as a whole is just because they overlap. I'm trying to think of what the other...
Well, she said she was worried that this was going to turn into some sort of quota
right.
versus merit thing.
Right. I mean, as I mentioned earlier, the problem is that the Oscars has never been solely about merit. There's a reason why we are all talking about Leonardo DiCaprio probably winning the best actor this year. It's not just because he was great in The Revenant. That's subjective, but it's because he's had a huge Oscar campaign behind it. But Oscars is all about campaigning, and one of the reasons why, from what I've heard from people who are able to vote for the Academy, is that one of the reasons why Creed didn't get nominated for any of the major awards is, other than Sylvester Stallone, is because there weren't any screeners sent out by the studio. And so they didn't really think that it was like an Oscar contender. And so when screeners aren't sent out for Academy voters, then they are less likely to go out and see the film. And so they don't nominate it. So anyway, going back to Leonardo DiCaprio, the reason why we're talking about him being nominated for Best Actor is in part because it's overdue. It's long overdue. That's like the thing people have saying. He should have been nominated for What's Eating Gilbert Grape. He should have won for Wolf of Wall Street, should have won for Gays in New York, blah, blah, blah. So that doesn't necessarily have to do with him being the best this year in The Revenant. There are other people who might have been better to choose for nominations. So I think the argument that the concern that we're only going to be letting people of color in or women in because of their gender, because of their race, or because of their sexuality is a little bit unfounded. And it concerns me because we never give these considerations when white people are nominated. It's just assumed that when white people are nominated, they're nominated because they are the best. And when underrepresented groups are nominated, we wonder, oh, is it because affirmative action? Is it because, you know, they feel bad about it? And I caution people against kind of thinking about the nominations in that way.
We are talking with Aisha Harris. She is a culture writer at Slate. She has written several articles about the controversy over the 2016 Academy Awards, in which for the second year in a row, the Oscar nominations included no non-white performers in the four main acting categories. We're talking about, as a popular Twitter hashtag asks, why are the Oscars so white? And talking about diversity in Hollywood in general and wondering what the fix is. Overall, how do you think the film industry, or television for that matter, and we'll talk about TV in just a moment, are doing when it comes to representing different racial or ethnic groups? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking about diversity in Hollywood, or lack of diversity in Hollywood. Our guest is Aisha Harris. She is a culture writer at Slate, and we are welcoming your questions and views at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. In an article criticizing this year's lack of racial and gender diversity in the Academy Awards, Variety writer Tim Gray notes that the film industry is about two decades behind TV in growing on-screen and behind-the-scenes diversity. Aisha, why do you think, well, first of all, do you agree, and why do you think TV is doing better than the movies?
I think I agree to some extent that I definitely agree that TV is doing way better than the movies. I'm not sure if I go too far to say it's two decades behind, but I do think that we have seen a noticeable change in the last 2 to 3 years, especially, where there has just been this sort of wealth of different perspectives for people of color on TV. I wrote about this last year a lot in the wake of shows like Empire, Fresh Off the Boat, Jane the Virgin. You have these TV shows featuring largely predominantly non-white casts. And it's not just the fact that they're non-white casts, but it's also the fact that these are shows that are doing very well, both critically and to some extent commercially. Empire was, I think, the number one show, the number one scripted show of last year. And so I think part of the reason why things have gotten better is just the fact that TV, I think, has been more hip to the idea that people of color can make money, especially in the wake of Shonda Rhimes, the creator of Grey's Anatomy and Scandal and the executive producer of How to Get Away with Murder. She's sort of like incorporated and become this sort of beacon for what diversity on TV can look like. And she makes ABC tons of money. And so I think other shows have fallen in place. And once filmmakers and Hollywood realizes this, the argument often in Hollywood is that abroad, overseas, they don't want to see a movie starring non-white people, which may or may not be true, but that seems to be the argument, and that's the reason why you don't see as many films starring non-white people in the major roles.
Stacey Dash, an African-American actress who also appears on Fox News, said criticizing the Oscar selections wasn't fair in a media environment where we also have the BET, or Black Entertainment Network Awards, and other award categories that are set aside just for actors of color. What is your reaction to that?
Well, I think you have to look at the reason why those awards were set aside in the first place. It's because Black Americans were not being nominated in things like the Oscars. And clearly that hasn't really changed much because we're talking about this now. So I think that argument is not valid in any way, shape, or form. I also think that, you know, we have the Country Music Awards. We don't complain about that. That's like that is separate from other awards, and I don't see how that isn't any different from the BET Awards. Also, I would just say that the BET Awards is not solely for Black performers. There have been white performers who have been nominated as well, from Eminem to Robin Thicke. So that argument to me just doesn't hold any water. And I think that, you know, so long as the Academy continues to stay so white, the BET Awards, the NAACP Image Awards, they deserve and should be around. And even if the Oscars were to suddenly become more diverse again, I don't see why one has to rule out the other.
Let's go back to the phones. Paul in Madison is with us now. Hi, Paul.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yes, what do you think?
Well, I wanted to jump in a couple callers ago with the discussion of a meritocracy in Hollywood. And I think, if regular listeners think that is the case, you know, it's pretty naive. It's just not the way it works. And the other side, to just echo some of the sentiments for, you know, or talking a little bit about Creed, you know, not getting any mentions or getting a true Oscar push was a huge bummer for me. I'm actually a DGA member, part of the Directors Guild, so I do get to vote on Best Director for that union. And I really made a push, you know, for what you can do as one person for that film, and told anyone who would listen to go see it. And he was the top of my list for Best Director. And, you know, in that nomination process, they picked five finalists, and he didn't even make the top five. And I agree with your guest. That's all about the studio deciding months and months and months ago that film is not going to be an Oscar contender in any way, shape, or form. And it's too bad, because you can see Sylvester Stallone reaping the benefits of a of a young director resurrecting, you know, an old franchise that will go on to make even more money and they'll make more films. And he gets very little recognition for that. And it clearly was a passion project for him. And 29-year-old young black man who's taken over a really, you know, historically white franchise and brought it back from the grave. And I think the name Ryan Coogler should be one that people remember, and it's a film they should go see.
Well, I plan to, but Paul, wait, so what do you think the answer is to this then?
You know what? I don't know. I think it's systemic stuff that goes way beyond Hollywood and films, and it's societal issues that I don't think we'll solve here this morning. But it's good that we're talking about it. But it is unfortunate, and I think we've still got many years ahead of us of the Leo DiCaprios of the world, who's obviously a talent, but they will, you know, the powers that be and where the most money lies are going to have a stranglehold on the conversation, you know, for this foreseeable future. That's how the system is set up.
Thank you for calling. Aisha?
Yeah, I mean, it's great to hear from someone who actually had a chance to vote. And I do think, I will say, you know, I thought Sylvester Stallone was great in that movie. I thought he deserved the nomination he received. But I think one could argue, and I've argued, and lots of people have argued, that, like, one of the reasons, the main reasons why he was so great in that role is because of Ryan Coogler, the director, who, like, had this idea to resurrect Creed and shocked it and you know, brought out the side of Sylvester Stallone I don't think any of us had ever really seen before. So I think that it is sort of, it's sad that, unfortunately, the other aspects of that film that really make that film great, aside from Sylvester Stallone, haven't been recognized in the way that Stallone's performance has been.
Now we will go to, thank you, Paul. Daryl in Couderay is with us now. Hi, Daryl.
Good morning. I had a question and kind of a comment that goes like this. Could it be that because of Ferguson and all the young black men that have been killed, add to that the Black Lives Matter speaking out about reality in too many black neighborhoods, that the Academy finds itself not wanting to consider blackness out of embarrassment they may attract by keeping blackness out of the public eye, which is only looking forward and not considering that racism has always been here. But many just don't want to talk about it the same way we discuss and treat our wars.
What do you say to that, Aisha?
I think that is a huge part of it. I have written about sort of what it would have been like had Creed been nominated for Best Picture. Because Creed is really, if it had been nominated, it would have been one of the only movies with a black protagonist that does not deal directly with the black struggle or with overcoming racism. I mean, every movie that has been honored or not at least nominated by the Academy, with the exception of Lilies of the Field, the 1963 movie starring Sidney Poitier, has been in some way, shape, or another about black suffering, whether it's 12 Years a Slave, The Color Purple was nominated, even going back as far as With the Wind. Like, the Academy, when it does want to deal with race, usually likes to deal with it in a historical context, in a context that is set in the past, that is not representative of what, or is not directly representative of what is now. And so I do think there is some sort of hesitancy in dealing with a movie like Creed that is very clearly set in the present and also is not about race, or even if Straight Outta Compton had been nominated, that's set 25 years ago, but it deals very specifically with the things we're struggling with now, like police brutality and Black Lives Matter. I do think there is something to be said for the fact that the Academy, I think, doesn't really want to reckon with more present racial issues.
A report out of UCLA last year found that racial minorities, 40% of the U.S. population, are still drastically underrepresented as film leads, TV leads, writers, directors, and as show creators. For something it feels like we've been talking about for decades now, why has progress been so slow in this area?
I think there are a lot of factors for why it's so slow. I think part of the issue is when you hear comments like Charlotte Rampling's or even Julie Deply, she made comments at Sundance last weekend, over the weekend, about how this bizarre sort of rant about women having it the worst out of all of the underrepresented groups, and that, you know, Black people don't get pushback when they speak out about their issues. I think when you hear comments like that, that speaks directly to this mindset that we think that we have progress because, you know, there's no longer whites-only bathrooms, there's no longer, you know, clear racial divides, at least to these people who think these things. And I think to kind of live in this cloak of, denial is part of the reason why we are not having progress as fast as it is. And I think that when you're dealing with people in denial, this is the reason why we have hashtags and campaigns like Oscar So White or Black Lives Matter, because we're specifically confronting that denial and saying, well, actually, this is a problem. And I think this Oscar So White thing, even though it started as a hashtag, I think it does help, and it has helped, because now we see the Academy actively taking a very distinct step forward in trying to make it less white.
Yeah. We had a caller, Barbara in Muscadet, wondering if you, Aisha, had any recommendations for listeners who may want to support diversity in film and TV about what movies or shows you recommend we watch.
I think one of the best ways to support is to watch and seek out the things that you want to see and the diversity you want to see. I don't think Empire needs any help. People are watching that. Jane the Virgin, I think, is a great show. Shows like Transparent. I'm trying to think of Mr. Robot is a great show that has a very diverse cast. I just say, you know, go to Netflix, go to Amazon, Google. You can find lists of under little teen films and TV shows that star people who either look like you or look like people you'd like to see more of. And you should be able to, you know, hunt them down and find them and make your friends watch them. And I'd also say, to some extent, if you want to try and you know, boycotts, I would not necessarily be opposed to trying to do something more, especially when it comes to the box office and trying to affect change in that way. But, yeah.
And we have just a minute left. I wanted to ask you about it. So you are not going to boycott the Oscars in terms of not watching them, or are you?
No. I mean, for one thing, I'm going to write about it for work. and also, I'm just fascinated. I want to see what happens with Chris Rock. I think that he'll have a lot to say, and I think it will hopefully be important. And it even with such a white lineup on the Oscars, it will be a historic night because of everything that's happening. So I do not plan on boycotting the Oscars, and I don't think anyone else should, because I think history will be happening, and it'll be worth seeing what happens.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Aisha Harris is a culture writer at Slate. Thanks to Christy Taylor for producing and directing the program, and to Nyasia Ellison for on-air production. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.